its neighboring children, and about the basic scientific need for these bullies' continued existence. These bullies tell us where to play, where to work, when to run, when to crawl, who to fight. After a while, we forget that we used to make our own rules, and that they worked perfectly fine in the playground. The bullies tell us to tear up the monkey bars and turn them into gargantuan private yachts. We comply and leave a blighted spot of playground where nothing grows except disease and hunger. Next, we chop up the swing sets to convert them into citadels revering the bullies' power that we grant them. More blighted playground, more blighted earth. Some of the scientifically inclined kids get together and realize that this can't go on forever, that we're literally destroying the very foundations of life in a blind cycle of consumption and growth. Folks, the bullies are consuming our environment far beyond the limits of sustainability, and we're letting them. We and the environment we live in are one and the same. We're not separate. We are all one entity. And as we destroy a part of this entity, we destroy ourselves. So what do? Should we ask the bullies for help? The very people who enslaved us and created the problem? Could you please stop clear-cutting forests and cutting down unions? And please start cutting down carbon emissions, giant corporations? Or could you please stop building thousands of nuclear weapons, supporting businesses over communities, and sending us to war for profit, illegitimate government? I say, hell no, that ain't gonna work. Cap and trade is playing right into their system of profits, not people. And would create a system where businesses trade around permission to destroy the earth. Asking the bullies to think about anything other than profits and power is a waste of time. The console energy angels are not going to swoop down and scrub clean the earth. Change does not come from above. The first step is not to develop clean energy. The first step is to kick out each and every world leader thug and capitalist bully, kick them out of the playground, and to start organizing society around our needs, our communities, and the principle of mutual aid and voluntary cooperation. Nothing short of revolution can save us now. To think otherwise is to stick your head in the oil spill soaked sand. So peace, keep loving, and keep fighting.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you very much. And now we have Aria Simmons, a 20-year-old film and TV major at Savannah College of Arts and Design. She is the only Pittsburgh Gates Millennium Scholar of Bill and Gates Foundation in 2007. Aria?
Yes,
yeah.
Woo! Making films in college and dedicating a great portion of my life to improving the world around us because and before we can change the problems of the world, we need to make sure we can live on the world so we can change it. I'm 20 years old right now, and I would still like the world to be inhabitable when I'm 70. And I also want it to be inhabitable for my children and my grandchildren and their friends and family so that they can enjoy what I've enjoyed and so that they do not have to suffer what I suffer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, these young people give you help. Something can be done. Okay, now we have our little poem by Edith Wilson, a longtime activist.
Yeah,
Edith! Yeah.
This is a poem by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the gray heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Thank you. Thank you, Edith Wilson. And now, it's my pleasure to introduce Stephanie Simmons, who's a wastewater consultant and Sierra Club group activist. She's a bright and powerful energy on many issues. Here we go, Steph.
Is there anyone here I don't know? Hey everybody, I'm not going to keep you because the hawk definitely has an opinion this evening, and I think that opinion is that we need to pay attention to the changing in the wind, because the times they are changing, as Bob Dylan said. We live in a very special place here at the confluence of the three rivers. You know, they often refer to this area as the City of Champions. And usually, it's associated with our sports teams. But I happen to know that it has to do with the blood and bone and sweat of people like you who are out here every day in the trenches fighting for our environment, for climate change, for water, for endangered species. You guys are out here every day. So the first thing I want to say is you are the champions. And hats off and kudos to you for doing the hard work that you do every day in your lives. The other thing I want to say is, everybody's worried about 2012. Some of that's immediate thing, and some of that's part of our heritage and our history here as indigenous people. For those of you who don't know, I'm Zelagi, Deer Clan, at the Tupasu. In addition to the other 53 varieties, I am truly the Heinz 57 Mutt. So I am all of you. All of you are part of me. You are my brothers and sisters. I would take a bullet for any one of you. I would give up a kidney to any one of you. I bring that up because that's the time and sacrifice that's coming to us. And you don't need to look to 2010. You can look to tomorrow. If we do not make serious inroads with our leaders at Copenhagen, then a lot of what we do will become more difficult. So we need to impress upon them in a very big way. But we also need to impress upon our local officials every day. The DEP. Oh, only two Snickers. Okay. There's a hearing in Cranberry on Monday about Marcellus Shale water. For those of you who found that just too difficult to understand, let me simplify it for you. Marcellus Shale is 5,000 feet under the ground, and you have to go through the aquifers, your water, the bituminous coal, the anthracite coal, a little methane, some radon, and a partridge in a pear tree to get to it. And when you get to it, it's probably radioactive. Yeah, that too. So let me make it simple for you. How many people would like to turn on their water faucet in the morning and have flames shoot out? No takers, huh? How would you like to bathe your babies and your elders and water contaminated with natural gas, methane, radium, mercury, cadmium, cesium, lead, oh, and a few chemicals we can't identify because the companies who do the drilling don't tell us what they are. But that's been okay to the DEP. They're okay with it. You okay with it?
No.
Me either. So we need to let them know. If you can't be at the hearing, write them. Write them a nice letter. And let them know what they should do with the Marcellus Shale wastewater. Because that's what's causing the problem with the TDS levels in the Mon, and that's what caused a 20-day death rate at Dunkirk Creek. So those of you who maybe went to the movies and saw that bad film, 2012, how about killing a 38-mile creek in 20 days? Is that scary enough for you? Oh, and I don't see anybody with a can of soda around here. I was going to demonstrate the fact that the water that was in that creek was about the same acid, the pH, as a can of soda. Killed 153 species in 20 days. So we don't need to go halfway around the earth to fight for the quality of our water and our lives. We can fight it right here. That is the number one threat to the Shire, people. And I see there are some readers of the Lord of the Rings here, so those of you who have not read the chapter, The Scouring of the Shire, it is time to scour. Like Al Gore says, we need to get a little crazy. We may in fact need to go out and plant trees in the moonlight and arm them with empty, but very effective, semi-automatic weapons. So when the CEOs wake up in the morning and they look and see the trees, they may first come to the market. We may need to get a little crazy. We may need to walk up to these top CEOs of Consul and Volda Walmart and tell these guys, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We have had enough. We may need to go to our public officials, to all those little meetings in your districts that nobody likes to go to because the only thing they're talking about is the correct paint color for the sidewalk curb, and tell them there are more important things to talk about and make yourself part of the agenda. We may need to do this. 2010 is going to be a tough year. I anticipate it might look like 2005, only worse. So I'm thinking, we need to stop allowing anybody to divide us and refer to us as us and them. Because after all, there's only we, isn't there?
Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to close this with a prayer. That we come back here next year and spend time together. Probably in a place that is warmer. But that we gather together again and we bring more of our people with us. Because a year from now, trust me when I say this, we will have a very different perspective on the world. We will have had very different experiences, some of them challenging. But hopefully, we will have more of the we on board. So please, extend your hand to those you have the least in common with, not your fists. Because it's about the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Okay, next we have Dave Rosenstrauss, who's a partner in Steel City Biofuels, a new project of the Pennsylvania Resource Council that is building the awareness policy and infrastructure necessary for the widespread production and use of biofuels in southwestern Pennsylvania. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. I'd just like to make a small correction to the introduction, if I may. I'm actually have no connection with Steel City Biofuels. Steel City Biofuels no longer exists. I'm the COO, Chief Operation Officer of Fossil Free Fuel. We're a company in Braddock, Pennsylvania that designs and manufactures and implements the use of used vegetable oil and biodiesel in lots of diesel vehicles in the region. That being said, I've only been here for maybe half an hour, and probably you all have been here for longer than that, because I think everyone was here when I got here. So, does everyone want to take a step away from the person next to them, just for a minute? All right. Safe distance, arm length. All right, let's go. Come on. It feels good, doesn't it? All right. I'll keep this brief. Even though you all are now extremely warm, of course. I guess as part of my job as chief operations officer, I think a lot about operations. And operations, once you start thinking about it, it exudes into your everyday life of your operations. And with climate change specifically, I see a lot of different operations that contribute to climate change. You know, there's automobile transportation, there's large corporations who manufacture and produce by use of fossil fuels, primarily. And that's more of the macro level, but there's also the micro level, and I think some people touched on this, but you know, climate change and implementation of these very large policies is great, but there also has to be something coming from the grassroots, from the people, the individuals themselves, in your own actions every day that you have to think about. So what you put on your body, what you put into your body, where that comes from, because the society that we have right now has set us up in a way where we cannot actually live within this society in an efficient manner. Our food is shipped from all over from other countries around the globe. It's extremely hard, you know, it takes a lot of effort to eat locally, and also a lot of the industries that produce food or shelter, construction materials, anything like that, are designed in such a way to be extremely inefficient. Even the setup of our towns and where the place you live versus the place where you work versus the place you shop. And our modern culture in the U.S. has set that up to disengage ourselves from being in a community that could be efficient and both supply ourselves locally. So I just want everyone to think, yes, we're all in support of these great big policies, but change has to come within, because what if these policies don't go through, but if everyone was acting in the way that, best efforts and best mind, then you wouldn't even need policies to live a life that would be free. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. And yes, that's so true. And that's why we wanted to have this little meeting here tonight. Our vigil is to raise awareness in Pittsburgh that we need grassroots to stand up to the corporations who are messing with our planet. And yes, we will be back here next year at this time, Stephanie, all together, and maybe even before. And if I knew how to get this thing out of the holder, I could stand up straight. I might be frozen in this position. Thank you, Mark. Mark, Vera Speck is one of our organizers, too. And Beth Beeson over here in the green scarf is one of our organizers, too. And now we have Hillary Bright, who is an associate representative of the Blue-Green Alliance. Yay, Hillary!
Yay! Hi, everybody. I'm duly impressed to see all of you out here in this ridiculous weather. So, amazing job to Mary and everyone in health and just thanks for coming out. I'll keep this really short, but for those of you who don't know what the Blue-Green Alliance is, it's an organization that was started by the Steel Workers and the Sierra Club, and has grown to now represent over 6 unions and other environmental groups, around 6 million people across the country, all trying to solve two major problems right now, economic crisis and global warming. So coming together to create a new job, the transition to a clean energy economy, that's one of the ways that we see to make a dent in both of these major issues. I've spent the last 9 months of my life on that top-level policy that Dave touched on, but let me tell you, that wouldn't be happening if it weren't for the grassroots support across the nation to finally address climate change on a real level. I think that that's where we are as a country and where it's going to go up from here. The goal, of course, is to have a bill in the United States by the time President Obama goes to Copenhagen. Fell a little short of that, but we did get the bill through the House. It's in the Senate. That little thing called healthcare kind of took first priority, but first thing next year, we're going to be working again on the bill. And is it the best bill we can have? No, but it's a good start, and we're going to be working from now until we pass it to make it as strong as possible. And people like you are the reason that the bill is where it is, and it's going to take all of our support to make it that much stronger and get it passed by March or May of next year. So, you know, keep an eye on that. The Sierra Club, as well as the Repower folks and a lot of other people in Pittsburgh, are working really hard to make that happen. Always doing stuff, always talking to our senators, important steps, and hopefully together we can make some real changes here in the country on climate change, and of course take it globally and make a difference. So I appreciate all of your support as always and all of you being out here. So everyone, I hope we finish taking stuff here and then everyone get warm tonight. So thank you so much.
And now we have a little music and some announcements. Do you want to do the announcements while he's getting his guitar out?
Is the person referred to as Corvus in the room yet? She went away for a while. She's not back yet. Corvus Mallory. Well, I wish to come back because there's another event taking place on Sunday night. Is anybody here able to tell us something about what's going on Sunday night? Flagstaff Hill?
Saturday at Sasha and the dance will be Student Coalition.
Okay, Saturday is the student coalition from 1 to 5, right? And that's a pit?
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's something else at CMU, from what I see, at 5:30. I don't know anything about that, it's coming up. But there's also a march and rally taking place on Flagstaff Hill that just got organized, and it would have been really nice if we had someone to give details. But she was here and she's coming back. Well, it's okay, she can tell us when she gets back.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay, I want to thank you again for coming out and for all our speakers. And I have to tell you, I don't know if anyone's heard the new international head of Greenpeace. And this is a tribute to the young people, why we want to hear young people, because they're the future, and they're the ones that are going to have to dig us out of this terrible hole when they're adults. But the international head of Greenpeace now, he said, we can't change the facts, the scientific facts we cannot change. We can change how the politicians vote, and if they don't vote in favor of saving our species and the planet, then we can change the politicians. So we really need grassroots, and we need people to call their Congress critters every day if you have to, over and over again till they get it. And I think especially in the next 2 weeks, we need to call the White House, 202-456-1111, and tell Mr. Barack Obama to do something, because the United States is really lagging behind at the Copenhagen conference, that we're not presenting ourselves very well or willing to do anything to change our lifestyle. And now we're going to have some music by Richard Colberts. He's a member of the Unsung Hero Band and also of the Taizé Choir at East Liberty Presbyterian Church. Here's Richard.
Thank you for coming out. Well, thank you. Mother Nature always takes care of us, you know.
With the trees in the forest, roots on the ground, the father of us, whose name is the sky, made us a rainbow, his cloud no pass by. As the river runs freely, the mountain of love rise, let us touch the love finger, see with our eyes, with our hearts. Like a bright sun.